History remembers Robert F. Kennedy as he was in his crusade for president in 1968, a racial healer, a tribune for the poor, and the last progressive knight. His romantic vision for America and the planet made Bobby the uncommon optimist in an age of political distrust, and later would inspire both Bill Clinton and Barack Obama in their spirited runs for the White House. Each time a man stands up for an ideal, RFK reminded us, he sends forth a tiny ripple of hope, and crossing each other from a million different centers of energy and daring, those ripples build a current which can sweep down the mightiest walls of oppression and resistance. No wonder his audiences swooned. But there was an earlier Bobby Kennedy, whom few recall. Our favorite liberal was nurtured on the rightist orthodoxies of his dynasty-building father, and started his public life as counsel to the left-baiting, table-thumping Senator Joseph McCarthy. That younger RFK was a bare-knuckled political operative who masterminded his brother's whatever-it-takes bids for senator and president. As Attorney General, Kennedy okayed FBI wiretaps of Martin Luther King Jr., whom he never trusted or liked. Even guerrilla warfare was in his toolkit. Bobby masterminded cloak-and-dagger operations against communist Cuba that included blowing up railroad bridges, sabotaging crops, and plotting the elimination of President Fidel Castro. His steely conservatism made him an idol to a young Rudolph Giuliani and younger Bill O'Reilly and Karl Rove. It would ensure him acolytes whose views were so antithetical to his leftist fan base that the two groups could neither talk to nor tolerate each other. In charting this charismatic man's little-understood transformation from cold warrior to hot-blooded liberal, this book tells the story not just of Bobby Kennedy, but of America at mid-century. The nation was riven back then. It had lost both its post-war sense of unbounded possibilities and John F. Kennedy, the youthful president who embodied that enthusiasm and promised new frontiers ahead. In their place were cities in turmoil, whites fleeing to the suburbs as blacks vented their frustrations in the streets, and a political system unable to respond. Now JFK's messianic younger brother was offering fresh dreams. He imagined a country split less between right and left, or black and white, than between good and bad. The Bobby Kennedy of 1968 was a builder of bridges, between islands of blacks, browns, and blue-collar whites, between terrified parents and estranged youths, and between the establishment he'd grown up in and the new politics he heralded. At age 42, he was on the way to becoming the tough liberal, or perhaps tender conservative, who might have stitched back together a divided land, and whose vision seems at least as resonant in today's polarized America. That healing magic was on graphic display one chilly day in May 1968, when his campaign motorcade rode through the then racially and ethnically diverse Gary, Indiana. Richard Hatcher, the black mayor, stood on one side of Bobby in the back seat of the convertible, waving to the biggest crowds his city had ever seen. Clinging to Bobby from the other side was Tony Zale, a Polish-American steelworker who had boxed his way out of Gary's ghettos to the middleweight championship of the world. The open cars rode through the white part of Gary, and then the black part, and Kennedy said precisely the same thing to both races. Jobs were better than welfare. Riots were no solution, remembered a journalist who was there. The reaction was equally enthusiastic in each half of the city. It wasn't just that he was the only politician in that season of strife who was embraced on both sides of the railroad tracks. Only Bobby was willing to tell each side not merely what it wanted to hear, but what it needed to know. If the Gary appearance captured his public persona, a less documented car trip that year revealed the man-child who charmed audiences across the country. He'd been visiting a suburban New York hospital for mentally retarded children, and on his way out, He impulsively promised the 9 kids he was talking to that he'd take them out later for his favorite food, ice cream. Knowing his jam-packed schedule, neither his aides nor the doctors believed him. But 10 minutes later, he was back, helping the shouting youngsters dress, piling them into his chauffeured car, and letting each of them pick out one thing at a nearby store that sold ice cream and candy. Driving away from the hospital afterward, he joked, "When those kids tell their parents that Bobby Kennedy took them for a ride and bought them ice cream, they'll never get out of that place."